Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja.
This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. It's been 5 years, my friends. 5 years. Can you believe it? It's been 5 years since I've launched the show. This episode is our fifth year anniversary of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. And I want to start off the show just by thanking all of our listeners and viewers out there from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being part of what we've built here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for words of encouragement that I've received through emails, through comments, through text messages. Thank you for being part of our community. Thank you for sharing what we've built here with your family, with your friends, with your community. Thank you for making me a part of your life, and thank you for allowing me to do what I love to do. And thank you for allowing me to maximize value for you on our journey together. It's been an absolute blast. I can't believe 5 years, it just flew by. I would have never in my wildest dreams thought that this would happen. This show would grow into what it's grown into. The show allows me to pursue my thirst for knowledge and for seeking the truth. I've always been a curious person. Growing up in South Africa during a very interesting time in the country's history, I was red-pilled as a young man. I believe that's a phrase everyone's using now, or orange-pilled if you're part of the Bitcoin community. But I was red-pilled as a young man growing up in a very interesting time during a transitional period in South Africa. And I realized that nothing is in this world as presented. And the deeper I looked into things, I realized that nothing is as presented in this world. And I've since then been a seeker of truth, and I appreciate you riding shotgun with me as I pursue this seeking of truth with regards to business, money, and investing. It's been an absolute blast. I really, really am humbled and just absolutely blessed to have the ability to learn from the greatest minds in business and investing weekly with you, and just continue to learn from them in this ever-changing world. Because my friends, we are in a world of rapid change. We are in the world that is going to be considerably even more chaotic than what it is right now. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be massive disruption. There's going to be systematic and structural changes to things that you and I have taken for granted and have lived with our entire lives. We are living in the Great Reset, as Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has told us in his book, The Great Reset. We are living in a time of massive change. We're living in a time where there are so many things happening with regards to technology. The environment that we live in is changing so quickly. We're living in one of the most exciting periods that I believe that humans have ever lived in. We are living right now in the time, it's already happening, during the greatest wealth transfer in human history. It's already happening. We're living during the Great Reset. We're living already in a time of technological change, where I believe we've only seen a sliver of what's out there. Artificial intelligence, robotics, 3D printing, driverless cars. It's gonna be crazy, but it's gonna be super exciting. And I wanna live in any other time but now, because I believe that if you see what's coming and you prepare for it and you position yourself to capitalize on opportunities, I think it's going to be a time of enormous, not only just wealth transfer, but wealth building. And for producers and creators that are out there, which is our listeners, you're going to see opportunities that you couldn't even have dreamt of. And this time, unlike any other time of great change, this time you you can start basically from scratch. I mean, think about going from the agricultural age to the industrial age. You know, during the agricultural age, obviously, you had to own a lot of land. You had to be the landlord, the lord of the land. During the Industrial Revolution, you had to own the factories, right? And during this time and period that we're living in, because it's technology-driven and information-driven, all of us have a level playing field that are connected to the internet. You can either be a victim today, which is the religion right now. It drives me insane to see that people are born in the United States of America. You literally won a lottery ticket if you're born here, regardless of race, religion, gender, regardless of anything. If you're a human being and you're born in the United States, you won a lottery ticket. If you're a human being right now in the world, you've gotten a lottery ticket because of the time that we're living in that's so exciting. Access to the internet is a level playing field. If you could get access to the internet, you are going to be able to build amazing things, and you're going to be able to position yourself, your family, and your business to be on the right side of what's coming. And of course, listening to us is going to help you to position yourself on the right side of things. So let's talk a little bit about the 5 years of Cashflow Ninja. Let's reflect. Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing guests, amazing people that we've had on that are doing incredible things. What are some of the big lessons and takeaways that I can share with you from interviewing some of the most talented and influential people in business, money, and investing? You know, here's the thing that I've learned. We could talk about sexy things and exciting things and things that are great cocktail party conversation things, or we could talk about things that actually move the needle, things that are essential to achieving success in any part of your life. Here's the biggest lesson I've learned. The foundational building block of every single one of us is our models, our frameworks, our belief systems, our worldview, and our paradigm. That really, really determines where we end up. And that is, after 5 years, one of the most powerful messages that I can share with you on the show is the importance of your models, frameworks, your belief systems, your worldview, and your paradigm. And that's why I just mentioned, you know, the victim mentality right there, model, framework, belief system, paradigms, and worldview. If that's where you're at, then it's going to determine where you end up, right? You're going to break down things. You're not going to build things. You know, there's two ways to have the tallest building in town. The one is to build the most amazing, tallest building and use your talents and your unique ability to build that tall tower. The second way is to break down everyone else's tower. So it's super, super important today to be very cognizant the role and the importance of your models, frameworks, your worldview, your belief systems, and then also your paradigm. We're all born somewhere. You know, if you're here, you were born. You didn't get to choose where you were born. You didn't get to choose who you were born to. You didn't get to pick your parents. You didn't get to pick your family. You didn't get to pick your language. You didn't get to pick your religion when you're born. And, you know, you're born and you learn by observing, and models and frameworks are given to you, right? As a young child, you adopt the models and frameworks of your parents and your family and the society in which you live, right? And then as you grow up, you go to school, you meet friends, they influence you, you consume information that you now incorporate into models and frameworks, you go to university, more friends, you have a partner or a spouse, and you have other friends and so forth, and those models and frameworks are built and adjusted and tweaked and so forth, right? And then they become pretty solid. And we interpret data and information through these models and frameworks. And models and frameworks that's why I wanted to share this on the fifth year anniversary edition. It really determines where you end up, especially when it comes to wealth creation and building. because we live, my friends, we live on a broken planet. That's not a surprise to everyone. We have more information in our fingertips than anything, but we are the most unhealthiest people that's ever lived on the spinning ball of dirt. We are, from a relationship standpoint, the most depressed bunch of folks ever. Look at all the people on drugs. Look at the divorce rate. Look at the money side, how broken we are. I mean, people are, nobody is as the skill set of managing money. So a lot of people are in financial dire straits in a time of wealth and abundance all over the place, right? Why? Broken paradigms, which is models, frameworks, your worldview, and your belief systems, right? So that's why it's so important. That's why I really wanted to talk about this. So yes, during times of great change and rapid transformation, it's ever more important to be able to be open to adjust models and frameworks and look at other ways of doing things. Because if you're just set in your ways and you're not going to be open to learning anything else, you're going to get absolutely run over. You're going to run over by the world, which is evolving and coming at you very, very, very fast. So yes, data is coming in. You have to develop solid fact patterns to process that data along with your models and frameworks to be able to include that into your models and your frameworks and your overall paradigm. You will have to be able to also change your paradigm. It's when you change your worldview, your belief systems, your models and your frameworks, right? How do you change your paradigm? So you change your paradigm when there's solid fact patterns around a certain specific topic. I'm just sharing how I've done it. And then also it's replicatable, meaning you see the same sort of fact patterns in different areas with different people. So let me give you an example with money, right? For 5 years, I've interviewed people on the show. I wanted to learn more about it. I wanted to become better. I wanted to raise my game. So I interviewed these people. What are some of the things that I've seen with everyone? I started to see that everybody knows how to make money. They know how to increase their ability to produce and create value to the marketplace. And they just focus on the value that they produce and create to the marketplace because they know if they do that and they increase that, they'll make more money. So I saw that. Not in one, but almost all these cash flow ninjas that I've interviewed, and I've interviewed over 650 of them. Then I started seeing that, hey, all these cash flow ninjas have figured out a way, after they make money, to protect it, to position it somewhere, to position that capital effectively. Then I saw all these cash flow ninjas, after making money and increasing their ability to produce and create, which allows them to make more money in any economy, and after positioning capital effectively, they then leverage that capital to position it effectively in cash flow assets that generates cash flow, keeps up with inflation, allows them to capitalize on the tax code, pay almost zero in taxes, and continue to put that money back to where they position their capital. So they were making more money every year. Their capital positioning was very, very effective, and they increased their savings every year. They continue to deploy that capital into more cash flow, so they just keep building more and more and more and more wealth. And around that, I also saw that they all protected it through proper tax planning, proper asset protection, and proper estate planning. So I looked at this and I said, all right, here's some solid fact patterns of this data, which I'm consuming by interviewing these folks. They all do these things. This is a model and a framework that I need to adopt and teach and share in my community because I just keep seeing it over and over and over and over. So that's what I mean by adopting, you know, a model and a framework. I was more focused like everyone else before I started on just the investing side, right? Buying real estate, no money down real estate, all that. Yes, that can be done, but I didn't bring it all together because I was so focused on one area, which sometimes you have to be, right, as a business owner and investor, very, very focused on one area, and that's why you're good at it, but you don't see all the other things that are out there that you could improve upon or that can come and bite you, you know, and you don't want that. So anyway, so that's what I mean. So huge lesson for me is paradigm. You got to be able to shift it if you need to. models, frameworks, your belief systems. Be open to exploring and listening to other points of view. Kind of have to say it these days, looking what's going on in the world, but belief systems especially, we were never reasoned into them. We just adopted them from whoever gave it to us. So we never questioned them. We never challenged the assumptions. As a matter of fact, most people become very protective of belief systems. So somebody says something that attacks a core belief of yours, boom, you become defensive and you go on the offense, right? Oh, I'm offended by that. Don't be offended by anything. This is not the time right now to be offended by anything. In times of the great change, which we're seeing right now, there's no time to be offended, folks. There's no time to get upset about things. Be open to everything. Challenge your existing assumptions, challenge your existing models, frameworks, your belief systems, your worldview, and be open to changing paradigms if you need to, because if you don't, as I mentioned, you would get run over. So we're amidst the Great Reset. We are in times of massive, massive change right now. Things are coming at us pretty quickly. I've developed a framework that I'm going to share with you to navigate the Great Reset. There's 11 areas which I've listed for everyone to take a look at, because I believe if you don't look at all 11 of these areas, you're not going to see what's coming. Because right now we're seeing changes in so many different areas, but they're all connected. They're all connected. And it's going to give you, this framework will give you the big picture to navigate the Great Reset. So this is what I'm using. So the first area that we're going to look at during the Great Reset is the money system. Money systems have changed and will continue to change. We are right now currently amidst a money system that's in the process of changing. What do I mean by that? Let's just take the last 100 years. So just in the United States, where I currently reside, in 1913, the Federal Reserve was created through the Federal Reserve Act, right? It was the third, if you want to get technical, it could be the fourth central bank that was created in the United States. Most people, they don't teach you this in history in school, most people are not aware that there was the first bank of the United States, the second bank. They're both in Philadelphia, not too far away from me. There was actually a Bank of North America before that too, but essentially there was two official ones. The Bank of North America was also there, but the third one was the Federal Reserve Bank, the central bank, which was based on the Bank of England model, right? To create and control the money supply. You know, you could go online and read about their charter. They haven't done anything that they were set up for. But essentially, that was created. Also, interestingly enough to note was that during that time, we were during the same time frame and period as the First World War, which was interesting too. And there was a lot of things economically happening globally. But essentially, there was a massive change in the money system then by establishing that central bank in the United States. Then World War II happened. The war was fought in Europe, right? Europe was decimated. The U.S. was a late entry to it. The U.S. was very well positioned after the war because they had people fighting there, but they were supplying a ton of clothes, food, ammunition. All the people that make money from wars were doing very, very well based out of the United States. And the U.S. was a supplier to that war of a lot of goods and services. So when the Second World War was done, the United States was in a very, very strong position to negotiate globally to set up this new money system that was established after the Second World War, known as the Bretton Woods system. It was established at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. The money powers came together of the world, and the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. was so favorably positioned, became the reserve currency around the globe. So every single currency was could be converted into U.S. dollars, and the U.S. dollar was then backed by gold. That was 1944, the Bretton Woods system. Then in 1971, the U.S. Were spread across the world, massive wars in Vietnam, obviously, in Southeast Asia, and were running up deficits, spending like a drunken sailor. And what happened after the Bretton Woods system is that Money could be converted to US dollars, which could be converted to gold. So there was countries actually sending a request to get their gold out of the United States, like Charles de Gaulle sent ships from France to come and collect their gold in the United States. Well, Richard Nixon closed the gold window. And in 1971, a new money system was established. While all currencies was essentially then just fiat, it wasn't backed by anything. You couldn't convert the US dollar to gold anymore. So since then, we've been on a fiat money system, which fiat is money is issued by a decree or government fiat, and it's enforced by legal tender laws. That was 1971. Now we're in the exact same situation where governments are printing and printing and printing and printing, not even printing physically. It's all digital. So much so that over 20% of the money supply of US dollars was created last year in 2020 in the United States. That's how crazy it's been. So essentially, everybody's inflating. Everybody's really destroying their currency at this point. And this is where we are with regards to the money system. Now, there's already been talks about a new world reserve currency, maybe a basket of reserves. We look at special drawing rights, which is the SDR issued by the IMF. I've had Jim Rickards on the show talking about that, which is a basket of different currencies. We've looked at countries with issuing their own digital currencies. China has already trialed it. The European Union has a white paper on a digital euro. In the United States, we've already had laws submitted, which wasn't voted on, legislation, which would create a U.S., a digital dollar with U.S. digital dollar wallets. The money system is changing, folks. You got to watch number one. Every day, something's changing. Yes, I know people are saying, what, MC, what about crypto? Yes, Bitcoin's in there. There's cryptocurrencies. There's an entire new system being built out as we speak with digital currencies, cryptocurrencies. And of course, there's encrypted a form of currencies. And then there's AI, artificial. So they're not all the same. I know most people say, well, there's going to be government cryptocurrencies. Not necessarily. It's just going to be digital, more AI focused and driven. But yeah, there's a difference between the two. But yes, there's a lot going on with the money system. And trust me, money is at the core of everything. If you want to look at what the problem is in the world today, you know, it's the money. It's the money that we all use. It's the money system. It's broken and it's in the process of being reset. Number two, banking and financial system ties into that. It ties into the money system. It's a broken system, the way that the global banking and financial system operates and works. I mean, we literally have a predatory system set up and established. I would read The Creature of Jekyll Island by Mr. G. Edward Griffin, which was written in the 90s. Folks, it's eerie how everything that he wrote in that book is coming to pass when it comes to banking and the global financial system. The name of the game is bailouts. These folks are betting and betting and betting and really money junkies, as Gerald Celente calls it, looking for their next fix, their next shot. When they go bust, they will be bailed out, not like Main Street, which was kicked out of their houses in 2008, right? That's the second part. So the first one, money system. Second one, banking and financial system. Third one is debt. The debt market is enormous. It dwarfs the equity markets. It dwarfs the commodity markets. It dwarfs the cryptocurrency markets, which is very small. The debt is, we are in a system of, not of capitalism, but of creditism, as Richard Duncan mentioned on my show before, and that's about to pop. The debt market's about to go. Keep your eye on that. Money system, banking and financial system, debt system. We're looking at a debt collapse, probably, and you're going to have to pay attention to that. The fourth one is the economic system. Now, we could do a whole podcast on that. The economic system is changing completely. Economies are changing. How people interact in economy is changing. It's virtual. It's digital. It's AI. It's robotics. The economy will not be the same as last year, as last month. It's going to change rapidly and so quickly. We've already seen you just look at the economy as a whole. We've already seen globally that Businesses were shut down by governments. Folks, a virus did not put business out of companies out of business. A virus did not close businesses. Governments did. Governments, through authoritarian and draconian and totalitarian laws and lockdowns, put businesses out of business. And what businesses did they put out of business? They didn't put the big box stores out of business. You know, Amazon did not go out of business. Walmart did not go out of business. All the big box stores did not go out of business. They were open. You were able to go into them and buy stuff. You weren't able to go and into your small business, your SMEs, as they call them in Europe, and buy something. You know, I had a friend tell me, MC, I knew that something was going on when I could go into Walmart to buy flowers for my wife last year, but I couldn't go to my local florist, you know, my small little business mom and pop store in my own town. So does that make any sense? No, it doesn't, unless you look at it from a big picture perspective, seeing that there's a massive consolidation in the economic landscape taking place. The bigs are going to get bigger. We've also seen massive mergers and acquisitions globally. You'll continue to see that because essentially they want small businesses destroyed. They do. Otherwise, they wouldn't have shut them down. I've tried to do business in New York. I could do an entire podcast about that. They simply do not want small businesses anymore. They want it gone. So that's why. That's why your small business was shut down and the big boxes were kept open. So the economy is going to change and shift that way. And most folks would say, but that's good. You know, I'm going to work at Amazon. Folks, they're going to bring in robotics over there. That's going to replace a lot of people. Driverless cars is on the horizon. 5G is going to change so many things, the Internet of Things and so forth. So you're going to have to stay ahead of economic changes and look at what's going on in the economy constantly. Real estate, tying into the economy. Real estate markets is the fifth area to watch because we're now living differently, we're working differently, we're not traveling as much, which will be tying into green passports globally, which they're pushing heavily right now. So people are not going to move around as much. So a lot of things are going to change. So number one, people are moving out of big cities to smaller towns because they now work from home, right? The economy, tying into the economy changing again. If you're a business, you're hiring the best and brightest talent because your talent pool isn't restricted geographically right now, right? So if you are a company in Minneapolis, just picking a random number, you don't just have to hire from Minneapolis. You can get the best and the brightest talent anywhere in the United States. So that's going to change. So you will be able to live wherever you want and still work for whatever company. So that's a big thing. That's a little bit economic, but it influences real estate where people live. The other thing which was going on in the United States, and I'm sure this is happening internationally. I've spoken to a couple of folks living abroad, but people are moving from areas to other areas. So there's a massive migration in the United States. They're fleeing California, New York, and Illinois. And where are they going? They're going to Texas. They're going to Arizona. They're going to Florida. And there's going to be a massive migration, which is only going to accelerate when some states respect human beings and respect human liberties more than other states. So if you are living in a state where there was draconian, authoritarian, and totalitarian lockdowns and enforcement of that, and other states don't have that, guess what? Then people that seek liberty will move to another state. So it's very, very, very basically common sense. So that's where they're moving to. So if you're in a real estate person, you have to be very, very aware of where people are moving to. What are they doing? You know, there was a lot of pent-up demand for vacation rentals, right? A lot of folks thought that that would be decimated. When the economy opened up a little bit, people were just booking and booking and booking because people want to travel, you know, locally, not as far anymore, not get on a plane anymore, but want to rent a vacation rental close by. People will be driving more. There's a lot of things happening. So another thing with real estate is look at, College campuses might be the new Rust Belts because people will, the way that we learn is going to change. I'm going to get to that in a second. You're going to look at another thing with real estate, commercial real estate. What's going to happen to malls? Is Amazon going to buy all of them? Not a lot of people going out to the mall shopping anymore. Remember, it's been more than 12 months already since we had the, 15 days to slow the spread. It's been more than 12 months already. People, their buying behaviors have changed. So they shop online easier from big box stores, and the malls are could be a thing of the past. So that's important to note. Big office buildings, what's going to happen to that? You think people are going to go back to work into offices? I know we're pack animals. We want to work in offices, but are we going to work in offices? Is it more comfortable working at home? Would there be, let's just say, a mixture of the two? Maybe you go in some days and some days you work from home, and now the company doesn't need the big space anymore because people are kind of, changing and interchangeably working some days at home, some days in the office. Huge stuff going on there. Education, as I mentioned, this area was ripe for disruption. It's going to be disrupted. Colleges, really, you're going to see a massive bust because they don't have anything to sell, really. And especially in the new economy. And again, when I'm stating this, I'm not talking about Ivy League schools. That's a country club membership. That's a different discussion. I'm talking about just standard colleges where you don't have anything to sell because, and you're not teaching me the things that I need to be able to adapt and make adjustments in an ever changing world. So that's a thing that would be a thing of the past. A lot of folks are going to realize that they don't need to go to college, especially in the new economy. They don't have to go into student debt, rack up all these bills to have a college sweatshirt that they can wear around. What are they selling, really? The education is so far behind. So what are they selling? I mean, they're selling an experience. They're selling an experience of not living at home and meeting new people, basically, which you'll be able to do in other settings. Food system, my friends. If you have not stocked up on food, survival food or any types of food, if you don't have food for 6 months or 12 months, you're really going to be putting yourself in big, big trouble. And that's not being hyperbolic. That's not being overly dramatic, which I sometimes can be. There's going to be massive, massive, massive changes to the food system. We are already seeing it. 12 months of rolling lockdowns globally. You know, what's that boat that was making a sign of a phallic sign in the ocean before it blocked the Suez Canal? All those things kind of tie into the food supply, and the food supply is going to be in big trouble. There's going to be shortages. You think toilet paper, running out of toilet paper was a problem? I think there's going to be other shortages with regards to food in the not so distant future. And then I also think that the food that will be there will be very, very expensive, which we will get to in a second over here. So that's the seventh part. The eighth part of this is the healthcare. Massive changes coming to healthcare. Of course, now the big push is the green passports. That's a massive, massive, massive push right now, which opens up a different conversation, and you could do many different podcasts with this, which will be banned on so many different platforms because you're not allowed to question everything. You're just you should just listen to what the mainstream media and their appointed propagandist and narrative control folks are telling you. So there's a huge push for that. There's a debate in the country whether you want to talk about it or not. You're having these in your communities. You're having these amongst family members. You're having these amongst friends, but we're not allowed to talk about it. But the healthcare system is definitely going to change. It has been due for an overhaul for a while, but it's also going to impact the health part of it. Is going to impact how you as an investor and a business owner are going to be able to navigate this environment, because there will be restrictions of moving essentially for within this new healthcare system. Then number nine, societal structures and systems. Folks, there's a lot going on here. So yes, there's already been such a divide globally amongst folks, massive divide. If you really, really think about it, this virus that was around was a very polarizing event. It's polarized a lot of people within families, within friends, within communities, and so forth. The control structure, which I'll get to, the folks in charge. This is the oldest game, divide and conquer. Really, it's a very, very, very old game, a century old game, more than that, for centuries, for as long as man has been around and woman on this planet. And we've had communities and so forth. Divide and conquer has been the name of the game. I mean, you just have to read history to see how brilliantly divide and conquer was implemented and executed by rulers in the world. That's the same thing right now. They're going to divide all of us. They're going to divide you on race, religion, gender, a virus, which I didn't think was possible. They're going to divide you on a mask. They're going to divide you on every single thing if you let them, which if you do, not a smart move, but they're going to they're going to divide you, and they want you divided. And there's going to be continually things pushed to divide you. You know, if you watch any mainstream news or you're on social media, which I would highly recommend, get off that. I've been off of Facebook since the beginning of the year. I've been off of many, many other social platforms since the beginning of the year. It's been a game changer. You're going to be sucked into what you're watching. And it's going to amplify basically your position. And the same thing with social media. Folks, they know what they're doing. They're sending you things that you want to see that confirms your bias and your beliefs, and you're sharing it with people that think the same as you, and it's just amplifying, and it gets more and more divisive. So that's the first thing. From a societal system, people are going to seek like-minded and like-kind. So there's going to be new communities formed, whether it's online, whether it's offline. Yeah, there's a big, you know, we talk in the cryptocurrency world, there's a human fork happening in the cryptocurrency communities, which we've seen with Bitcoin and other coins. When there's a disagreement in the community and people are starting to want to part ways, they split and they fork off. So you've had Bitcoin have several forks, right? Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SV, and so forth. So you're going to see basically a human fork. The other thing that I would also put in there is from a societal structure and system, we're probably going to see most likely social credit systems in the United States, as in China. You're going to see them rolled out everywhere. They'll probably be here within the next 5 years. Tying into that, number 10 is political. That's another podcast in and of itself. I believe that we're going to see political movements. Agree with what Gerald Salente shares in at the Trends Journal, which just provides the facts, great source of information. But he can see already, you're going to see tax movements. You're going to see different political movements emerging because of all the crazy stuff that's happening right now. So we've really come to a point in the United States and the world where the people are not represented by the leaders which they elect, regardless if you're left or right, folks. The people that are in charge are not representing the interests of the folks that they were elected to serve, but rather other interests, right? The people that pay for their political campaigns. Oldest game in the book on that one, too. So we've seen over the past 12 months that literally everything is an illusion and it's a distraction, because no one is working for you, either left or right, regardless of what country you're in and where you're living in. They work for the system which they serve, which takes care of themselves and them. There's going to be changes politically, whether it's going to be peaceful. Hopefully it will be. It's going to be interesting to see it play out. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. I can see already a lot of succession movements that were in place before 2020 and the virus really, really gaining steam all across the world as people just get fed up of draconian, totalitarian, and authoritarian governments, which is now globally. It's all over the place. The final one is the one to watch, is the control structure. Control structure is very important to take a look at, because yes, if you look at what's going on, In every single country, the same thing is happening, almost as a script. So this is no longer a theory. It's actually now a case study. So looking at the world as a whole, you see, man, every single country, you want to tell me, and a planet with 7 billion people, how many billion people we have, we're all thinking the same and saying the same things, and the media all saying the same things. Am I going crazy here? No, it's part of, if you want to look into the stuff, it's part of a script and of a control structure that is set out there. So eventually, if you want to look at where this is headed and where this is going, you should probably look at the Truman Show, the movie where every person is tracked, monitored, and in real time, 24/7 around the planet. You know, we see it now through, you know, the FANGs, the Facebook, the Amazons, the Apples, the Netflixes, and of course the Google, which is Alphabet. You know, Google, their parent company Alphabet just, I believe, purchased a wearable company too, the Fitbit company. So now they know your heartbeat. They know when you're working out. They know the emails that you're sending. They know what you're watching on YouTube. I mean, so that's what I'm talking about from the control structure. Now, as a business owner and entrepreneur and a liberty-seeking person, it's very important to be cognizant of all of this stuff, to see what's going on, utilizing this framework to sort data and look at solid fact patterns and then make decisions based on that. If you just look at one of these areas, and I'm going to name them again for you, if you just follow and look at one of these areas, you might be blindsided by something else coming at you, because all these areas are connected in some way or form, and they're all part of the big picture. So I'll list them off again. Number one, the money system. Number two, the banking and financial system. Number three, the debt system. And I'm looking at a debt collapse there. Number four, the economic system. Number five, real estate markets. Number six, educational systems. Number seven, food systems. Number eight, healthcare. Number nine, the societal structures and systems. Number 10, political systems. And then number 11, the control structure, which brings us all together. I hope this framework is helpful. It's been very, very helpful in over the past 12 months to try and make sense of the chaos, the madness, the insanity that is going on. You know, there's going to be interesting things playing out. One thing that I said I would do in this show too is answer a question that someone said from an investment hypothesis, like what do you do in times of great massive change? How does it play out? And I hope I did this. This is what you do. You create a framework. You have different pieces that you look at. You see what's going on from a big picture perspective, and then you could figure out how to position yourself. So if you just use that framework, you know, one of the things that we're looking at, we've seen a massive, massive expansion of monetary supply. Now, I said over 20% of the currency was created in the United States just in the last year. So why haven't we seen massive inflation since it was done in 2008, right? So people didn't see massive inflation then. Yes, because there was a lot of technology innovation and a lot of offshoring. So where someone would have higher wages or see inflation in the United States, all the companies and manufacturing was moved to China and to other areas. So this time is a little bit different because the whole world is inflating. So we're going to see more bailouts and stimulus and quantitative easing in the United States. It's not going to stop. We just had a $1.9 trillion package passed. Now they're talking about another $2 trillion infrastructure bill. It's not going to stop, folks. It'll just continue. Everyone, as I said, everybody's doing this globally. So it's not just one country. So we've already seen asset prices, which usually when the money supply is increased and inflated, the people that benefit are first or the people that have assets. So you've seen real estate prices go up, the stock market go up, Bitcoin, the price of Bitcoin go up. A lot of money has been going in there. It's been one of the fastest horses out there. So that's where it goes first. We've seen it go into commodities. If you follow commodity markets, you would have seen massive price increases already. If you utilize this framework, you could also see, hey, Where do I position capital? Gold and silver hasn't done anything, but other commodity prices have gone up. What does this play in? Are these two the greyhounds that is just being held back that's ready to be released? We've also seen, inflation comes in different forms and shapes, whether it's shorter toilet rolls, whether it's, anybody that has bought a bag of potato chips, you've probably seen a larger bag with, or even a smaller bag with less potato chips in it, just using that as an example. So inflation comes in different shapes and sizes, right? And eventually, what's going to happen when they try to curb this? When inflation really comes up and they have to deal with this globally, what do? Interest rates are so low. What if they raise rates, let's just say, to maintain some form of currency integrity, which there's no currency integrity left, but let's just say they tried. If they do it with a dollar, let's just say interest rates go up here, it's going to crash emerging economies because they all have loans in dollars, right? So in South Africa, for example, the IMF issued loans. It's all being paid back in dollars. Interest rates rise, crashes economies like that. So at some stage, you're going to see, financial and economic control lost by countries too, utilizing this framework. You already are starting to see stuff like that. And then you look at civil unrest. You look at a lot of unhappy people when that happens. And we're starting to see signs of that already. So, which usually results in martial law, right? It results on heavy police on the streets, troops and so forth. Washington, D.C., where we're in the United States, has a fence around it, 20 foot with barbed wire still. It's going to be the same in other countries kind of too. So anyway, so this is just an idea of making sense of all the chaos using the framework that we have, those 11 pieces. So Cashflow Ninja in 5 years was a podcast. We have got exciting, exciting things on the horizon, my friends. We are actually launching our first program. It's called the Cashflow Core Builder Program. Since we are in reset, since we are in times of massive, massive uncertainty, times that are chaotic, times that are going to be interesting, very, very interesting. We've launched this program since we're building Cashflow Ninja out to be an educational company. One of the tagline that I use for the educational side of Cashflow Ninja is self-reliance through education. So we want to empower people through education to help them become self-reliant and empowered in times of reset, which we are in right now. So I made available to current clients of mine and folks in our community already the Cashflow Core Builder program, which is a program that's going to, it's a 4-week program. And in that program, you're going to learn how to create a strategy that's going to allow you to not only survive, but thrive during the fourth industrial revolution. We're going to share in that program how you can protect your capital and cash flow during reset times. And we're also going to share and teach models and frameworks and skill sets, which will allow you to figure things out. That's one of the biggest things that you need to have with you. If you have solid models and frameworks and certain skills, you can figure things out because you're going to need to. Nobody's going to know all the answers. If they tell you that, they're full of it. Nobody's going to know all the answers. But if you have solid frameworks and you have solid models and solid fact patterns, believe in your ability to then figure things out, as chaotic as things may get or as crazy as things may be. So that's the three things that this program is going to share with you. Who is this for? Anyone that wants to build wealth in reset times and be on the side of the greatest wealth transfer in human history. This is who this is for. So what are we going to cover in this program? In week one, we're going to focus on the asset, which is you. We're going to focus on the asset. In week two, we're going to help you build out and craft a strategy. In week three, we're going to show you how to build systems that function within the strategy. In week four, we're going to cover tactics and vehicles. So very, very, very important stuff. So in those 4 weeks, again, just to recap, we cover the asset, the strategy, systems, and tactics. How it will work is every Monday, I will release 4 to 5 hours of content. And every Friday, there will be a live call with myself on answering questions of all the program participants, covering all of this. And you'll get to ask questions, which I will answer during that call of the program. And you'll also get to learn from the questions that everyone else answers. This program will start May 3rd and run to May 28th. That's when we wrap up. It's just it's a 4 week program. So yeah, it's really, really a program that's focused on outcome-based education, as my friend Bob Wells will say. Essentially what it is we're trying to share information and knowledge and teach and educate things that should convert if implemented and executed on in an outcome for you. And the outcome is you're going to have a strategy that's going to help you survive and thrive in the fourth industrial revolution. You're going to position capital efficiently in cash flow, and you're going to be on the right side of the greatest wealth transfer in human history, and you're going to have a skill set with models and frameworks to figure things out as they rapidly, rapidly, rapidly change, which it will. If you're interested in this and joining our program, you could go to cashflowninja.com/core, C-O-R-E. It's cashflowninja.com/C-O-R-E. You'll get to be part of one of the first groups that we're taking through this program. I'm super excited about it. So it's at a massive discount at cashflowninja.com/C-O-R-E. The price of that will be a multiple in the future of what it is now. So if you want to be part of the first folks joining us on this in this program, please go to cashflowninja.com/core. If not, if you're not interested in that, no problem. Please continue to learn. Please listen to more of these episodes. There's over 750 episodes at cashflowninja.com. We're going to continue to produce and produce and produce for you and maximize value for you on this journey. And we're going to continue to put as much information out as possible through Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Investing Secrets to help empower as many people and reach as many people as we can during times of reset, because this is crazy. It's going to be the craziest times, but it's going to be some of the most fun times that you can imagine. I really, again, on this fifth anniversary of the Cashflow Ninja podcast, just want to again let you know how much I appreciate you. And thank you again for spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Until next time, live infinitely.
Presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.